raise your hand if you did have fun today. Raise your already. You're like, my gosh, I never heard Great is Thy Faithfulness, Mama by Boyz II Men, and throw in, I can promise you it's not happening at Lakewood. They're throwing in a little, My Pony. Raise your hand if you're unfamiliar with that song. Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you are familiar with the song. Raise your hand if you are very familiar with the song. All right. Next week's going to be really good. I promise you this won't happen because Pastor Nicole is preaching. And she's going to be talking about the Lord being a shepherd, and she's going next level. She's literally bringing real live sheep. This will be interesting on stage, and I'm going to go to Weldon. A lot of you I haven't met out there. I want to go to Weldon, then I'm going to go to the 12:30 at Ferguson. Woo! And it's going to be a good time. But first, I want to go with that scripture. As we know, the 23rd Psalm, there's a particular one in verse 6. Can we throw that up there? Verse 6. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will, this is important, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, for goodness and mercy to follow you all the days of your life, you gotta dwell in the house of the Lord. So many people's lives are in shambles and they're basically kind of sideways with God, and they're on the sidelines of life because they have not made God in his house a priority. At every campus today that you're at, you made God a priority. Yes, it was tough. Yes, it was cold. Yes, it was hard. But today, when you recalibrate your life and you get into a local church, especially one like this one, you can be assured that the way you anticipate life changes. So that's the question. What are you anticipating? Failure, setbacks. I've been bad, so I'm going to get bad. Or are you anticipating goodness and favor and breakthrough and supernatural opportunity? A lot of that has to do with who you hang around. First of all, I feel like, and I can't put words in your mouth, but I have a question. How many already kind of laughed a lot, like you're like, oh my gosh, what is happening on stage? That's silly. And you laughed and you had fun. Raise your hand if you didn't. If they didn't raise their hand, next you'd look at them and say, you're never going to have fun. If you haven't had fun yet. But we lack in life a lot of times expectation, and we lack happiness, and we lack joy many times because of the people that we hang around. You hang around losers, you get that mentality. I grew up with a bunch of people today. I was talking to Nicole this morning on the way here, and I was talking about how that I grew up in South St. Louis. Florida doesn't know about this, but we lived in a real rough part of town, and we never worried about getting abducted. We did it. You know, I was talking to a guy at our church last Sunday. I was preaching there at our city, and I went to lunch with this guy, and he's a squazillionaire. And so we went to lunch, and he was talking about his concerns, his adult children, and how he had to have security for them the whole life because they were worried they were going to get abducted because they had so much money. And a lot of people have that. And I thought, you know, as a kid, I was hoping somebody abduct me because I need to eat. Right? I was like, that'd be awesome if I got abducted. But I would be abducted into a rich family. Can I get an amen? Did somebody abduct me? I didn't know it was adopt me, but anyway, I don't really care. But sometimes if we hang around a certain people or a certain group of people, we start thinking that's the way we live. So I've said this many times, if you grow up on a river with a canoe and your entertainment is a beer and a bug zapper, you think it's awesome because Bub over here has got like a jet boat with a killer turbo bug zapper. And you think, man, he's loaded. But then all of a sudden, now you go to a different neighborhood, a different spot, maybe down here in the intercoastal, and you see these $100 million yachts. So if you hang out on a yacht, oftentimes you'll meet people on yachts, and that'll be your friend group. If you hang out on a river with a bug light, nothing wrong with either one of those things. That's show me your friends, I'll show you your future. So here's what I want you to understand at all of our campuses today. When you came into the doors of one of our churches, what you did is you changed your friend group, which will change the way you think, which changes your expectation. Instead of being fearful and afraid, you're saying, I'm moving forward into my preferred future. Come on, somebody, give God praise today. Psalm 23. So let's go to verse 1. Here's what we're going to pick today. Verse 1. It says, verse 1. It says, I know what it says. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. God will provide, and not only will he will provide with grand style. And he's not El Cheapo, he's El Shaddai. He's a surplus kind of guy. I was in Panama not long ago, and there was a bunch of monkeys jumping from tree to tree, and there was bananas laying everywhere. Way too much bananas. It appears that God is extremely wasteful. Not a supply and demand lack issue. There's no scarcity in the mindset of the monkeys in Panama. I'm just telling you, they're like, we got more money, more monkey money, more bananas. Their currency is bananas than they could ever spend. But see, here in America, we watch the negative news and they're always talking about, hey, maybe we might help you not lack by giving you a stimmy check. Remember getting a stimmy check? Raise your hand. Y'all remember this? Like, everybody got a stimulus check. People running around, they're rich for a day, they're out of Target. They don't know what to do with it. They're just like, oh, how much are the red balls out there in the front, the big ones? Those are stationary concrete balls, man. What are you doing? Because when people get money, but they don't have revelation, they still live in lack. And you and I have seen this. Have you ever seen people win the lottery and like 2 years later, 60 Minutes does an interview and they're like, how did you end up back at the trailer park? Again, nothing wrong with the trailer park. I grew up in a trailer, but if I made $10 million, I'm gonna hire security and try not to get abducted. Okay, so we change the way we think by getting around the right people, and then we realize, wait a minute, we're expecting God to supply all of our needs. Because if you're looking to the government, you're looking at the wrong people. They're very confused. It's a mess. Not only we're still living in the greatest country in the whole wide world, but it's a little jacked up. But we are in this country, and a lot of our online people around the world, you're in a different country, so you get this. The currency's different in your country. The money looks different in your country. The way people conduct their lives, the time change. It's just different. Something's different about different countries. You just got to remember, and I want you to get it in your mindset, that the Lord is your shepherd, and you're going to lack nothing because you're in his kingdom. Even though you're still in America, or you're still in Panama, or you're still in Africa, you're there geographically and positionally. Your physical earth suit is there, but you're not from there. You're from somewhere else where your father is a king of a kingdom, and he's going to meet all of your needs, and you don't lack anything. You missed a good opportunity to give God some praise right there. Now, how does he do this? How he does this, Philippians 4:19. How does he do it? He says, he shall supply, not the government, not your job. Your job is a source, not the source. He shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. So he's gonna supply your needs. Now, more than just financial needs, although I think that's important right now for a lot of people. How many of y'all could use some extra money? You could like, I could use another stimmy check from somewhere. If you didn't raise your hand, I want to have lunch with you today because we need your help. Let's try that again. How many of y'all could use some extra money? I could use some money. Well, God has the ability to supply not only our financial needs, but our emotional needs. You know, so many times I watch people who have money and then they don't have a good, most of the time, people with a lot of money don't have great relationships because they're so busy making money that they are a little short. Remember there's a story in the Bible, it's not in my notes or anything, but it just came up in my spirit. There's a guy in the Bible, he was a tax collector. How many of y'all know automatically you don't like that guy? Raise your hand. A lot of you didn't raise your hand because you're like, I know there's one in here somewhere. So this tax collector, he was rich and he was smart. He got up in a tree and Jesus knew him. He said, Zach, come down. Zacchaeus, come here. I want to have lunch at your house today. But he was short in an area of relationships. He had money, but he didn't have friendship. What's neat about Faith Church, this is why when you get in a group, which by the way starts next week, when you get in a group and you get around the right peer group and the friend groups, it changes everything about the way you think, so then your mind begins to stretch. I say this all the time. Fill in the blanks if you can help me with this. I wanna see if I've trained you right. A mind stretched, what? Three of you, never goes back to its original size. Man, do I ever have job security? I thought you had that one. What about this one? I didn't mean it. Yes. You got that one, it was short. Okay, gotcha. I wanna stretch you. I wanna stretch you so much you're like, man, you're like a Pilates instructor, man. You are stretching the fire out of me because I want you in 23 to be all that you can be. And the way you start that is you change the way you think, and then what happens in your heart, in your mind, comes out your mouth. The Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So when you get it in your heart, the right way to think, then you start living out of the abundance, understanding that God is supplying your emotional needs, your financial needs, everything you need. He's got it. Black. I want to talk to you a minute out of this passage. Once, when standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret in the crowd, they were pushing on him, and they were pushing on him because they wanted to hear the word of God. I underline that because I want you to understand what they wanted for Jesus is not just money, do a miracle. They said, hey, we want to hear the word of God. Why? Because when you hear the word, the Bible said, you know the truth sets you free. Hear the word of God. And he noticed boats that were tied up, and the fishermen had just let down their nets, and they were now cleaning them now. They were in a series of lack. They went fishing, and it didn't work out. And while they were there, that was the next verse, guys, that I was reading from. He noticed that the two boats were there, and the fishermen had left them, and he's scrubbing their nets. He climbed up into the boat, and he asked Simon, go out a little bit from the shore. Sitting there using their boats as a pulpit, he what? Taught them. Shout it with me. What did he do? So we know he wanted them to hear the word, and they wanted to hear the word. And then he didn't say, we're just going to hang out. He said, I'm going to teach you something. He taught the crowd. Again, when you're taught the word of God, like you are today at all of our campuses, it changes your outlook. It changes the way you look at 23. Verse 4, put it on the screen. When they had finished teaching, there it is again, he was teaching. He said to Simon, push out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, it's very easy for Peter to say, man, I'm tired. We already cleaned our nets. After all, you're a carpenter. What in the world do you know about fishing? But nevertheless, he said, at your word, we will go out. At your word. So Jesus taught them. Then he taught them. Then he taught them until they believed it. My daughter, who sang so good a while ago, at her age, nobody really her age at 19 knows, great is thy faithfulness. Oh God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou sayest it's not like a pastor. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest. Why? Because she heard it, and I taught it to her again and again and again. And today, when we couldn't pull off getting me monitors up here for some reason, I couldn't hear. They got in-ears. I can't hear the keyboard to save my life. You can hear the keyboard because you've got speakers. I have no speakers. I can't hear it. And thank God she had been taught, because she immediately saved her daddy. And she started singing because she could hear. And then eventually, I could kind of hear from her ears and hear them singing. And as a deaf guy, I just kept trying to sing what they were singing, but she had been taught. What I'm saying is, tomorrow when you go out on Monday, the information that you learn on Sunday will save you, because when CNN says something and Fox says something and the Fed says something, you say, that has nothing to do with me. I'm going to let down my nets, because 23 will be a better me. And if God be for me, who and what can be against me? Somebody ought to shout amen today. I'm talking to you today. If you grab a hold of this and say, you know what, devil? This is the last day that I'm going to be sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm coming out blessed, favored, anointed, strong, qualified, strengthened. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. By the way, no weapon formed against me will prosper. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him and keeps him back. Somebody ought to give God some praise. I'll give you 8 seconds. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah, that's good right there. He says, Simon, verse 9. It says, Simon, we've been fishing hard all night. We tried in 2020, we thought was going to be good. We still ain't over 2021. Climbed out a little bit in 2022. What are we going to do? 2023, I wonder what will be. The future's not ours to see. Your posture's down. My little grandson, if you upset him about something, he goes from this to... What's wrong, buddy? He just looks like he's got a little song in his head, like, I feel sad when you're sad. I feel glad when you're glad. Help me, people. If you only knew. This is the old people only. Going through. Trey with his fishing vest is going to know nothing about this. But he's moved by what he's feeling. And even, this is key, his body language says something. It's a proven fact. When you breathe in, put your shoulders back. Even in the worst of times, you say it looks like the worst of times, but I know God's working on something. You know, God's got something in the background, and then it confuses the heck out of the devil. He goes, I hit him with my best shot, and they kept on keeping on. Reminds me of the two little boys that were twins, and they were studying the difference between the twins, trying to scientifically figure out what's going on. And so they filled this one room, this glass room, full of manure. And put the one little boy in. He came in and said, oh my gosh, just unbelievable figures, just crap everywhere. We took the other little brother, put him in there, and he goes, there's gotta be a pony in here somewhere. With that much mess. So it depends how you look at the situation. So when you realize that the Lord is your shepherd, yes, you're lacking. Yes, it's been a hard night, but nevertheless, I've been hearing the word, and I'm going to set out my course in 23 to do what God has called me to be. I'm not going to lack. I'm not going to be in fear. I'm not going to wait for the government to tell me what's going to happen. I'm not going to watch the fight, the cat fight between the Republicans and the Democrats. Rah, rah, rah. You got papers. You got papers. You had more papers. I talked about the papers. Screw the papers. Let's move forward to the plan of God for our life, and I'm here to tell you, the answer is the local church. The answer is Jesus. I wish I had somebody to help me with this today. Forget it. It's all they can. They can't do anything. It's a mess. What a joke. What a joke. Got me all fired up on that right now. If I never see the news again, it'll be too soon. So he said, I'll let down the nets. It was no sooner than they had done this. Check this out. A huge, not a little, not a mini, not a minnow, a huge, everybody shout it with me, all the campuses, what? A huge haul of fish. Straining the nets past capacity. This is too much. This is exceedingly, Ephesians 3:20, abundantly, help me, above all you could ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that works within you. There's something on the inside of you, and it's Jesus. And he's leading you and guiding you. Huge, 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 massive, mega. What I think today, right now, that thinking right now, just the technology of this, that I'm looking at two cameras here, and I'm looking at a camera here, and I'm in your face live streaming to campuses with thousands of seats. I mean, look around. So it's 2,400 seats there, Earth City, a couple thousand seats there, and Weldon and Ferguson. All these, there's thousands of people hearing the sound of my voice. How is that possible? A guy that was a homeschooler, nobody tried to abduct me. You know what that means? Come on, raise your hand if you know what that means. You know? Look at your neighbors and tell them, say, ain't nobody abducting my kids. Come on, I know, right? Someday they will, but, you know, maybe if you're lucky. No, if you're rich. I was trying to make a joke. Didn't work out, but let's just move past that. Because God didn't check with my pedigree. God didn't check with my education or lack of education. Like, Nicole's super educated. She's got more degrees than a thermometer. But God did not look at what happened to you and go, you're disqualified. No, no, no. This Ephesians 3:20, let's look at it here. I got it in the voice translation because we quoted it all together, but this is really cool. I saw it this week. It says, now to the God who can do so many awe-inspiring things, immeasurable things, things greater than we ever could ask or imagine through the power at work within us. I love that, awe-inspiring. Oh, I believe that God wants to do something so great in your life. Like all of a sudden now, if you're single, raise your hand real high and wave it. Come on, keep it high so people can see what they're looking at. Come on, one more time. Raise your hand if you're single. Raise your hand if you're single and ready to mingle. But only if the guy is qualified to be abducted. You know what I'm saying right now. Okay. But what if this time next year, all of a sudden now God brings the right guy in your life. Not half a man. I'm looking for my other half. You don't want half a man. You want a whole man. So God brings a whole man in your life, which you will finally, you're probably going to find him in church. I want to go to the club and try to meet a man. And I'm going to meet a man at a club. And I'm going to bring the guy to the club. And I'm going to ask God to change him. No, the chances are this guy's jacked up and he's been clubbing for a long time. He got six-pack abs and that is his tour to your
my pony.
Come on, so I'm just grabbing right now. I'm just say, raise your, I'm talking real. Raise your hand if it's, if you understand. My friend Glenn's going, oh my God. Okay. So you meet a guy at a club and you expect him to be awe-inspiring. Not going to happen. But if you get the right man, and it's a man of God that wants to go to the house of God with you, then everything begins to change. And now when you become one, come on, you become one. Now one to put 1,000 flight, two put 10,000 flight, and now you got a person that'll pray with you and play with you. Somebody know what I'm saying right now. And you get it, you say, oh, look what God has done for me. Let's go back here to the boat. Verse 11, Simon Peter said, verse 11, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. Nothing to fear from now on. False evidence appearing real. Some of you are pilots. You understand acronyms are a big deal in the flying world, and I think it's a big deal in life. False evidence appearing real. Because many times lack comes because you're afraid that you're not going to have enough. That is a scarcity mentality. And what is a scarcity mindset? Let's put that up there. What is a scarcity mindset? What is a scarcity mindset? A scarcity mindset is thinking that, well, I'll only put this much gas in the car because I might run out of money. You probably have a scarcity mindset if you've ever went to a store and the first thing you did was look at the half off rack because that's just the way you think. And I'm not against having good deals. Nicole married me because I was half off. It just happens. But I am saying that sometimes I have, and I want to ask you this question. Have you ever bought a few things because it was smarter, but you really didn't like it and you really didn't wear it? You should have just bought the one thing that you would have wore the fire out of. Raise your hand. A lot of people throw it out, raise their hands. No style here. It's a scarcity mentality. It's a mindset that says, hey, you know, we're going to, my grandfather was, he went through the Great Depression. I don't think he really went through. He's still stuck there back in the day. He would actually take his checks. He worked in St. Louis as a truck driver, as the Teamster. And he was afraid that my grandma would spend the money. So a lot of times he wouldn't even cash his checks. He would just hide the checks. And they found stacks of checks that he never cashed. How many of y'all know that's the answer to how stupid can you get? But he was so afraid, he had such a scarcity mindset that he worried about stuff that just never, ever happened. I have some friends that are extremely wealthy. Talking, they make $1 million, $1.5 million a year, and they still stay at real cheap hotels and don't spend any money. And I'll look at them, sometimes we're on vacation, I'll go, hey, I got something to tell you. Read my lips. Your kids are going to spend your money. Look at me, right here. Your kids are gonna spend all your money. So my one friend, he told me, he said, I need you to teach me how to have fun. I'm like, holler at your boy. I am your boy. I know how to have some fun because I like to spend my money. My kids, I hope they watch this right now. Austin's in St. Louis. I'm going to spend all my money. My grandkid, watch this. I'm going to spend all my money. Papa got swag. Papa got style. Papa a brand chaser. Sorry you had to see that. Scarcity. Scarcity, scarcity. Now, scarcity can work in the positive way. We know that Yeezy, raise your hand if you heard of Yeezy, right? Yeezy, here Kanye said, we're only gonna make so many shoes, so we're not gonna charge $100 for a shoe, we're gonna charge $900 for a shoe. Some of these Michael Jordan shoes, I forget, did you see that online like this last week? Like a pair sold for like $1 million or something like that? I'm like, what in the world? It's scarcity. Harley did that years ago. They said, hey, we're only gonna make so many Harleys, we're going to cause a scarcity. So then, therefore, scarcity can work good for you when it's product that's unavailable and it makes people do stupid stuff. A lot of people did that recently, last year. They said, we got to buy a house. People put their house for sale for $250. And they're like, hey, 9,000 people saw this house. And so you can't offer $250. So the people are like, Bob, we're scared. We're not going to get it. Offering $50,000 more. And a lot of you paid too much money for a house. It's not worth it because of fear. Scarcity mindset. So scarcity works good if you're Kanye selling you a shoe. Scarcity work not so good if you are afraid you're going to lack. Because at the very get-go of this sermon, after, you know, all the songs, we talked about the Lord is your shepherd, not our shepherd, your personal shepherd. And you're going to lack nothing. The Lord is your shepherd, you shall not lack. Now, God has an abundance mindset. Check this out. God has an abundance mindset. Remember I told you purposely, I dropped it earlier about the monkey, so we can set you up for this right now. Bam, here we're back. Too many bananas, too much oil. Look, there's an oil shortage. There is not an oil shortage. There's more oil than we can ever use. Everything that we need, including toilet paper, it's back, y'all. Remember that? When it was like a shortage, we're out of toilet paper. Remember this? Raise your hand. Baby food. We can't feed our babies. It's fear-based. If you keep your cool, if you'll look at your father, then you'll realize that God has an abundance mindset. Now, God often does the extravagant. He does extravagant through what seems insignificant. So like, oh, God bless me, then the first thing God's going to ask is like for 10% of your income in tithe. He says, honor the Lord with the first 10%. This is found in Malachi. The tithe is the first, not the last, it's the first 10% of the income to God. So you say, God, I made $1,000, here's $100. God, I made $100, here's $10. God wants a dime out of a dollar. Not because he needs the money. You need the discipline and you need the partnership of God, because God will take what doesn't look extravagant in your life right now and it looks insignificant. And when you obey him, God's abundance, check this out, next slide, God's abundance often follows faith. So when you step out and you're like, I don't have the money to tithe, you don't have money not to tithe. I don't have money to save, you don't have money not to save. What do? You just gotta not go get your nails done. No more weave. You got to weave it alone. Come on, somebody. You got to weave it to your face. You got to move forward. I'm not saying forever. I'm just saying for right now. I lost y'all on that one. Come on, give me a second. Nicole, the other day, somebody said, is that your real hair? She said, yes, I bought it. That's my hair. Now, let's take this. I want you to get your phone out if you want. Let's do this little slide. Abundance versus scarcity. This is a good one. We're almost done, class. Abundance versus scarcity. There will always be more. Oh my gosh, I gotta do it. I gotta get it now. The house, I gotta buy it now, or somebody's gonna buy it later. The car dealer told me that somebody came yesterday to look at the car and they're gonna buy it today. You know when the car dealer's lying when his mouth is moving. Scarcity says there'll never be enough. There'll never be enough. That's what my grandpa had. My dad had this too, by the way. It's genetic. It's kind of like if your dad had it, your granddad might have had it. It's kind of like ugly. If you got it, your grandma might have had it. There will be enough. There will never be enough. That my dad took that mindset. So when I built a barn that was bigger than my dad's church years and years ago, way before I was in ministry, my dad came to my house and he said, what are you doing? Have you lost your mind? What? You're going to go broke. And I got scared. I went to bed that night and my dad was trying to genetically pass that on to me. And I said no, because my dad said it's wrong, but my father said it's right. So I was listening to my father, and I'm so glad that I did, because later when Nicole and I built that barn, which was a great blessing, we didn't know later that we built building all these churches, and we needed to go through all that stuff, whether it's the financial pressure, even the financial pressure of the church. I went to bed last night owing $16 million on the church. You didn't go to bed. Raise your hand if you didn't go to bed owing $16 million last night. Raise your hand, okay? So I did, okay? And I slept well, and I feel good, okay? Because I'm not thinking there will ever be enough. I'm thinking there will always be more. I'm not looking at the government. I'm looking at the government of heaven, and we will not lack because we're changing people's lives, okay? Now, abundance collaborates. We're almost done. It collaborates to stay on top. This competes. They got to knock you down. Anybody ever tried to tell somebody something good that happened in your life and they had to knock you down to try to humble you? Raise your hand. Now, abundance embraces change. Scarcity fears change. I think they're going to change things at the company. I'm going to lose my job. Therefore, that's why I better not get Netflix, because if I get Netflix, it's $9.99 a month. So I'm going to keep stealing Bubba's Netflix. Abundance shares knowledge. Scarcity can't tell people their weakness, their vulnerability. Even a while ago when I kind of messed up that joke, remember I went down a trail for a second, because humor comes from the word humility if you trace it all the way down. And humor will humble you real quick if you do it wrong. And so the best thing I could do was, when it kind of went south, was just address to you, hey, that was not funny. I tried to be funny and it didn't work out. Then I flipped it on you and you laughed because that was funny that I admitted to you that that wasn't funny. Raise your hand if that made sense. Okay, so you, the real you, people are going to buy into you. The real you, people are going to love. The real you doesn't look at failure. Let's put up this next slide. Failure is an opportunity to grow. It's a growth mindset. A fixed mindset's like, man, there's only one way to do this. And if I'd have been born back then, if I hadn't went through divorce, if I hadn't been molested, if I hadn't, no. I don't want you to look at this challenge as something that sets you back. Next week, when Nicole preaches, if you haven't heard her, it's quite impressive to think that I've never met her biological dad and he's alive. And when we first got married, he would call drunk asking for money. I've never met him. She was molested as a little girl, raped a few years later, then looking for love in all the wrong places, and now she finds herself pregnant with this baby that she didn't know it was just the right thing to do or not. And it is, because he's there in St. Louis. Give it up for Pastor Austin today. And so God takes, hey, I'm not a fixed mindset. I'm not going to say this happened to me. I'm going to say this happened for me. Okay? Say amen to that right now. So if you'll just change how you're looking at the situation, it'll change how you view it and how you receive it. Instead of looking at it as a tombstone, you'll look at it as a stepping stone. Now, there's two things I want you to do. Number one, if you're on this fast with us for 23 days, join us in the morning for prayer, 7 a.m. Central. We've been praying every day. And then join in the fast. I believe God's going to speak to you. Change happens on the inside. Second thing I want you to do is get in a group. Surely you've already been through Growth Track. If you haven't, leave today, go out to the left or the right of your auditorium and get in Growth Track. It's imperative. Then those groups are really important, because there's people in a group that can change the way you think for real. And God will lead you to the right group. So you get online, you get on the website, and you find out, where's this group and where's that group and how do I get in a group? You say, I don't do that group thing. Well, you're asking me why your life's jacked up. You're not in a group. You're asking me why this question, that question. There's a lot of people at our church. Even here today, when I look out, I see people that one guy just sold a piece of property and made millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars off of one sale this last month. I don't say that to impress you. I say to impress upon you, where you start, this guy started really poor, and where you finish really depends on what you do in the middle. I want to pray for you right now. I want you to close your eyes at all the campuses, and I want you to, if you're comfortable, to stretch your hands toward me. Sunset, Weldon, Ferguson, Royal Palm, online. I believe in the power of prayer. I've been praying and I've been fasting and I've been asking God to help me stretch you. God, I ask you right now to move in and out every aisle, up and down every row, all the way to the back wall at Earth City, to the right and the left of First and Florissant, in the chapel, in the overflow, wherever people are in the sound of my voice, and I ask you to make them realize you love them. And you know them. And you know what they're going through. And you know what they're going to. And God, I ask you today on Instagram and Facebook and all forms of social media, God, that this isn't just clickbait. This is me praying for you today that a better me in 23 will be yours. God wants you to let go of what's in your past and limiting you. And he just wants you to open up your hands for a glorious future. Say amen to that right now. God, I declare blessing, favor, breakthrough, opportunity, strength, courage, joy, happiness, tranquility, health, wholeness, stability, soundness, equality in every area of their life. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. Give the Lord a great big hand of praise today.